Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is the one, the only, Buzz Burbank. You know him. You love him. He's always on the Bob Seska show. We just love Buzz around here, so we're going to have a good time. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. I offer a show every Tuesday just for patrons called What's Up, where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever's on my mind. I also offer an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Look at the different tiers and support the show today. Now please enjoy my conversation with Buzz Burbank. Welcome back to the show, Buzz.
Thank you, Kimberly. It's good to be back. It's great to be back.
Oh, it's been quite a while. So I'm really happy to have you here. And it's always fun talking to you. You're such a cool man. You're a fun guy.
Oh, you're very nice.
And you know what? You're always so sweet. And I just have to say, first of all, your wife has the most perfect penmanship I've ever seen in my life. It's like her handwriting is like a font. It's insane.
I married an elementary school teacher.
There you go. Well, my mother has really nice writing and very, you know, she's always been like a bit of a perfectionist, but I got to say, Marsha kicks her ass in that department. So.
Almost a calligrapher.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. And then you're always so sweet too, because you're always asking me like help for gifts for Bob at Christmas. Like, I'm so bad. I'm so bad at it. And I feel embarrassed because you get him better gifts than I do. I never know what to get him. I never know.
Hopefully I give you some ideas too. I've appreciated your help for sure. And it's hard for someone who has very specific tastes. And if it's something he has a taste for, he may very well already have it. And if he doesn't have it, he probably thinks it's crap. So,
you know, and it's like, you know, one time early on in the relationship, I got him, I think it was Spider-Man. I don't remember, but I got him and it was like, no, he's not.
We all try.
Yeah. So I just decided, you know what? I don't want to. And my feelings weren't hurt that he didn't really care.
That's important.
But it's like, I just don't want to spend the money and the time on getting him something that he doesn't like. So, you know, that's just like, he's hard to buy for as far as I'm concerned. But anyway.
But it's fun. Right. It's fun. And I also have the privilege because I have stuff that I know he's interested in that I have had ownership of for a long time. And so sometimes mutual memories are involved in these items.
Right.
It's fun to send him that kind of stuff too, as gifts, you know, and also a way to clean out the house.
All right. Well, let's get into some news. Now, I just want to say that usually when you're on Bob's show, you bring the jokes, you bring some lightness. But I think on this show, even though I'm also silly, I don't have all the sound effects and all the specialness that Bob has. Right. But I know you brought some news. So I want to talk about the news with you.
I appreciate that. And I did actually prepare some for you. See, I'm not always Mr. Funny Guy, or haven't always been Mr. Funny Guy. And many would argue that I'm still not. But I used to do the news. And so because I do the comedy, as it were, on Bob's show, I thought I'd bring this. And because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
So there'll be plenty of joking around as we get through the show. But for now, the news. gas prices. First of all, our top story, national average, and this is political, okay? Gas prices, the national average now $4.30 a gallon. How's that going over in Trump country?
Right.
Gas is up 12 cents in the last 2 days, up 7 cents in 1 day. Price is still rising. Oil now over $125 a barrel, still rising. This affects the cost of everything. Mm-hmm. The tomatoes we were buying recently for 99 cents a pound, now $3.69 a pound.
Oh, my God.
Met a restaurateur who says he can't even get tomatoes. And this all has to do with transportation. And that all has to do with gas prices. And that all has to do with Trump's war and Trump's tariffs. Speaking of the war, the cost of the war now so far, $25 billion at a rate now of about $4 billion per week. And in other news, Donald's do-over. He's written on social media, quote, the 2020 presidential election should be wiped from the books and be of no further force or effect, end quote. He wants to, quote, declare the 2020 election irreparably compromised and have a new election immediately, end quote. Sure. And does he want to run against Biden? What does he want to do? How does that work exactly? And then the evidence, people continue to argue about the recent alleged assassination attempt, mm-hmm. and maybe it was, and we could talk about how people have handled this, and we should talk about that.
Yeah.
But first, let's look at the facts, the evidence so far. These were assembled by Dave Troy of America 2.0. I got it off Keith Olbermann's show today. This is my version of the list, so it's going to be a little different, but it's the same facts.
Okay.
First, Cole Allen was one flight up from the ballroom and never even made it down the escalator. Two, his alleged ammunition was buckshot. Three, he never fired a shot. Four, the only shots fired were by Secret Service, four bullets. Five, one Secret Service officer took friendly fire, and that was stopped by his vest. Five, Cole Allen was not shot. He was tackled and subdued. And six, the security perimeter was never violated. So what do we have there exactly? And that's not an argument that it was staged. Everything that we know we saw actually did happen. Mm-hmm. There was an element of danger to be sure, especially with the Secret Service popping off shots upstairs. But those are the facts as they have been assembled thus far. Mm-hmm. And I think before you can have any other kind of discussion about this thing, you have to at least examine the facts at hand.
Yeah, and I was, of course, one of the people who immediately assumed it was staged. And there were a number of things that looked weird, right? You know, when Butler, Pennsylvania happened, mm-hmm. I immediately assumed it was a legit assassination attempt. I didn't mm-hmm. for one second even entertain the notion that it was staged. And the reason why is because Trump is a malignant narcissist, and I just figured he's not going to put himself, you know, in any kind of a place where he could be shot. And
a guy did get shot. A guy did get killed at that event. That doesn't mean Trump did, and I see no evidence of it. I've seen no.
No, I believe it was staged. Yeah. Something is. You know what? Here's one of the biggest tells. Is mm-hmm. that because he is a malignant narcissist, mm-hmm. the fact that they just closed that investigation, he would never shut the fuck up about it if it were a legit assassination attempt. He mm-hmm. just wouldn't be. That's just like with the 2020 election. He's so upset about that.
Why doesn't he keep raving about it? Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that I'm not going to say that I regret immediately jumping to that, because it wasn't just me. It was like almost everybody on the internet didn't believe it. We were mocking.
Yeah,
we were laughing at them. And then Trump fell. I don't know if you saw that, but he did fall.
Or was pushed down by Secret Service.
Right. And then he's just trying to say that he was told to duck, which is, we all know, bullshit. I don't feel like... I just feel like because he is the con man who's cried wolf so much, and because he is a con man, it's difficult. It's like the default is to not trust him at this point.
Our fairy tales are clashing here. He's now the emperor who cried wolf. I mean,
mm-hmm. Right. You know,
we've got overlapping stories here. But yes, exactly. And to all those people who have called for, unity. And this is a moment, and you know, we all have to stop with these conspiracy theories. Hey, the townspeople are not to blame here.
No.
The townspeople are not to blame. We're not the ones who've been crying wolf. They've been crying assassination attempt. We're not the ones who've been beating that drum. So don't blame us when nothing appears to have come from any of this, and we're a little skeptical.
Yeah, and also, I mean, he's been screaming fake news for like more than a decade.
Right.
So it's, you know, I mean, he's in there. And then I just want to throw out there that not only is this, I don't think people really consider this, but I've been on this like rampage about fake news, legit fake news on Facebook. Facebook has no fact checking. And there's all this bullshit news, whether it's a, like right now there's this meme going around. It looks like it's a screenshot from Twitter about Trump saying he had Comey arrested, which we will talk about Comey in a minute, but it's not real. I cannot see his, what do you call it? His Truth Social account. I'm not logged in.
Right,
but I know that, I know what his profile picture looks like there. So this looks like the a Twitter, and it's not on Twitter. And the whole point is there's all these stupid graphics or fake articles going around that aren't really important. You know, it's not like disinformation where you're getting disinformation and now you don't know. It's just straight up disinformation about all kinds of things, whether it's pop culture or politics. And ultimately, it leads to us not knowing what's real. It's part of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. And I, you know, I never bothered to even follow up. I saw it as an opportunity to jump in on the fun. I used to not be aggressive in this manner until I met Bob Seska, and he taught me. I saw it as an opportunity to 86 this, 86 that. I saw it as an opportunity to jump on that bandwagon, be it true or not true. I never reposted that picture. But the important lesson in what you're saying here, and gosh, what we ought to be teaching in school, I guess, is that a meme is not news. It can be entertaining. It can be enlightening. Sometimes it may contain facts or it may not necessarily. It's just a meme. It's not, there's no way to verify a meme. You can't click on something in a meme and see if it's true.
Well, one thing you can do though, like for instance, tried with, it's like if you right click, and I know some people are going to give me shit about this, but I don't care. And I don't even know the reason why, but when you when you're on your laptop, I don't know how it works on the phone, but you just right click and then you hit search Google Lens. And then what that does, you do that on the picture, you hit right click on whatever picture, and then it's going to take you to the internet and show you where they have found it. So if there is a source for it. Yeah. And if there is a source for it, then, you would see that this particular tweet, this apparent screenshot of a tweet would have shown up on X, which is Twitter. And it did not. I looked for it. It's hard sometimes to differentiate, but I've just, whether it's an article or just what somebody's saying, it's, if you go and fact check it yourself, you find out that there's no source
there
for
you
it.
Go.
And it's rampant on Facebook. And so and it just brings me back to, we don't know. This is the problem. It seems almost like it would be harmless to share an article about, you know, pop culture and it's not accurate. There's all these stupid things on my, I have a Facebook page just for family and friends. I don't post there very much. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden I'm seeing all these Real Housewives articles and, and I clicked on one because it was, I can't remember who it was. It was a famous person, right? It was like an actor who's on one of those shows. And it said she and her husband split up. And I'm like, really? They split up? And I looked, and they didn't split up. So it's just it seems like it's innocuous. It seems like it's not really that important, but it is.
This has always been true of showbiz news. I met a woman at a party once, and she said, what do you do? And I said, I do the news. She goes, oh, I love the news. What's the latest on Kardashian? You know, and I go, I get it. I get it. To her, that's the news. And it's been showbiz news, as I'm sure you know, that really took the lead on this. Showbiz news was the first clickbait. Before there was anything to click, the showbiz magazines and stuff, and the showbiz television shows, for that matter, to a certain degree, the ones who hadn't been bought out by studios. It was all about sensationalism. TMZ, yeah. I guess, is they're much more careful, though. They actually follow some journalistic principles. Some
right.
Journalistic
yeah. Well, this stuff on Facebook is just yeah. made up. It's literally
it is.
Clickbait.
It's
clickbait. It's for engagement, and it's so
be a careful. Lot of these.
Yeah, just be careful of what you share.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is, and you know the problem, and it is that we don't know what to believe anymore half the time. And because if somebody throws us something and it seems like it could be, and these days what doesn't seem possible. So even the most outlandish things can pass as credible if in this atmosphere. And that was the point of creating all this disinformation and intentional confusion.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just basically unfriending people. I will get, you know, I'll comment and say this is not yeah. this is fake, you can't find it, and I try to prove that you can't find it. And this is the most disappointing thing about this is most people either ignore me or they say something like, well, the right does it all the time. Okay, right. So then what you're saying is, well, then I'm going to be just like the right. And that's not that's how we lose this country.
Yeah, so, we've been pulled down. Donald Trump yeah. has pulled us down to this yes. level. And you know, we've gone from Michelle Obama saying when they go low, we go high, to us now saying when they go low, we go low, too. Or, you know, yeah. You know, there's a lot of it's all about tit for tat now, literally. Yeah. It's a no win. I mean, everybody loses in this situation. But this is what we've been lowered to. We have to try to stick to the facts. Well, that would be maybe a good place to start. Right. So question things, educate yourself, investigate the source. Always investigate the source.
Unfortunately, so many people don't. And basically, if you're following me on Facebook and you post something because it looks good and it sounds good. Uh-huh. I mean, I had posted right after Melania came out and said she, you know, wasn't friends with Epstein. There were all these fake photographs of her kissing Epstein all over Facebook. It happened almost immediately. And everyone started sharing them. And when I, of course, you know, like the freaking Facebook police come around and say this isn't accurate, I've been accused of being MAGA because I don't even know why. I guess because it sounded like I was defending her. I'm like, I'm not defending her. This just isn't a real picture. It's just, it's a fake picture. Stop posting. There's enough evidence and enough negative crap out there that's true that we don't have to rely on lies, and it just serves the Nazis. That's what it does. And I wish more people would understand it, but you know, I give people a chance and I'll comment and I'll say this isn't real. If you know, can you find a source? And they just ignore me, or they'll tell me that they're gonna leave it up anyway. And then I can't deal with it.
I'm so tired of that process. One of the reasons I pursued the 86 thing I saw it as an opportunity. Well, first of all, I had an extra motivation, but I also saw it as an opportunity to try to educate people as to what it really meant. Now, I know I'm not the only one doing this. A number of people have posted the actual meaning and meanings of 86. But it started with me. I wore my 86-47 to, of all places, a Publix grocery store down here. And I had the customer in front of me turned and started screaming at me profanities, insisting that I intended to kill the president. Because that's what, in his mind, that's what 86 meant. And it's not. It means to reject or to throw away to discard. The simplest definition.
Throw out.
Discard. Yeah, exactly. So, if we educate one stupid redneck out of this, it'll be worth the effort. Normally, I just don't bother with them, but because of that ugly incident that I endured at Publix, I'm extra sensitive to this whole 86 issue. It was a chance for me to jump on that bandwagon and maybe educate some people, as I said, in the process.
Well, now that we're talking about 86, I mean, we are seeing Donald Trump going nuts over Comey because he once again, He's going after him. And this is ridiculous for some freaking seashells saying 8647. And it's the stupidest thing we've ever seen. The stupidest thing. You know what? I feel like I spend so much of my time focusing on listening to people talking about Trump's health and how much longer he likely has. You know, I like to listen to Epistemic Crisis. I remember his name now. Epistemic Crisis guy, I think. He's on Instagram. Now, he was predicting last Thursday was going to be the day, right? He thought, basically, because he's a doctor who treats patients just like Trump, he's like, look, on his way out, whether he's going to die or they're going to, you know, 25th Amendment him. I don't think he should have gone with a date because nobody can predict a death or nobody can predict that moment when you can no longer coherently communicate. Although, you know, I mean, I know he's building a following and whatnot, but what he does do is he provides us with kind of like a, you know, kind of a medical perspective, even though he hasn't been in front of Trump and he can't, you know, really see what's going on. He can look at the symptoms and say, this is what I see when I'm out in the world with my patients. And so I just think that this whole thing that he, you know, whether it's Comey or whatever he's doing, he's literally, as this doctor has told us, in narcissistic collapse. So he's got dementia. He's got frontotemporal dementia. And I said that right. I never say that right. and then, you know, he's in narcissistic collapse. And so right now, I think he is probably at his most dangerous because he doesn't fully grasp what's happening, but he's still filled with rage. And, you know, from what I know is, at least from my own personal experience, people can get really angry and irritated. And he was already angry and irritated to start. So I feel like, you know, what's happening with Comey and what's happening with Jimmy Kimmel, as far as the two, you know, his wife and him wanting to pressure ABC to kick him off, we're going to be seeing more of things like that. And I genuinely believe that. I mean, I'm never going to try to make any prediction. I'll just be really quick here that I saw a video of a woman who is some kind of a speech person, I don't know if she's a speech therapist, but whatever. She's a speech professional.
Right.
And she was talking about two things that day that Trump did that thing about the corner store. And two things that she noticed were his saliva was collecting at a rate much higher than normal because his involuntary swallow reflex is failing him because of that frontotemporal dementia.
He's drowning.
Yes. And then on top of it, so she did a whole thing on that. And then she talked about how he said corner store. Then he said quarter store. Then he again said corner store. And so she was explaining that patients like Donald get cognitive tests where they have to go like ta 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 pa 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 ka 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 ka, and then they have to say some kind of a sentence. And she's like, "There's no way he could do that. He can't even say corner store twice in a row in separate sentences. It wasn't like corner store. It was a sentence and then another.
And that's just one example of that.
Right. And so, you know, there's a name for that. There's like a medical term for it, which I can't remember. So what I did was I went to the internet. And I, you know, the internet doctor that knows all.
Yes.
And I basically just said, okay, what is the, you know, like, what was the term I used? You know, like how long does someone have left with this? And I named what she said, his age plus the involuntary swallowing that has been getting worse. Cause like you always hear him go, that's just him sucking his saliva back into his mouth. Cause it's going to fall out. And, you know, I said, you know, a man, or I didn't even say a man, but it's like somebody who's 80 years old and who likely has congestive heart failure, you know, what is their life expectancy? And it says about 6 months. So, you know, I mean, we can't really know for sure anything, but I always say this, if he were my father and I loved him, I would be like, okay, dad's dying. You know, we don't know when, but dad's dying. So Donald Trump is failing. He's dying. And I think that it's just a matter of time. And we're going to have to go through more of this shit with whether it's James Comey. And so what this all brings me to here is how are you feeling about, like, what are you anticipating providing, you know, with this idea, knowing he's just going to get worse. He's not going to improve. His health is not going to improve. His brain is not going to improve. So every day we're going to see the result of this atrophy in his brain, and the you know, whole narcissistic collapse. I say this, and I say, you know, I don't want to say like, how afraid are you? Because I don't want to be focused on how we're afraid. But like, what do you anticipate? Do you think that he's going to do some wild and crazy shit, or just more stuff that we've been used to and it's still awful?
Well, you know, one thing we have to wonder is at what point, you know, how crazy, and I don't know how I can get much crazier if he's talking about redoing the 2020 election.
Right, I know. Here, I know.
Immediately.
Oh, my God.
However that works. One symptom, as I understand it, of cognitive decline is that forward lean. I think it's one reason he tips over so easily.
Yes.
Honestly. I mean, it's not hard for the Secret Service to push him to the ground. I think just a finger would probably do it. And before we get away from it, on the subject of Kimmel, it's more than just threats. The FCC has now given ABC until the end of this month, May 28th, to justify their license renewals. That's, I think, years ahead of schedule. And now they have to have it done by the end of the month. And so the FCC is actually taking action. It's not just talk, or that's where it is now. Hopefully this will get stopped, but you know, then la da 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 da, Supreme Court, end of story. You know where that's going. As for how afraid am I, first of all, I'm not afraid. I think regardless of what happens, whether Trump lives past the November election or not, and isn't it interesting? By the way, he's not the first elected official whose death has been discussed at length prior to that occurring. Honestly, that's true. I heard this morning also that Huey P. Long, politicians surrounding him, did nothing but talk about his impending death. So it's not unnatural for that to be discussed. I think whether he's alive or not after the November election, he will be ineffectual. If he collapses and J.D. Vance becomes president, I think he will be ineffectual. I'm very confident about America's disgust with what'd I say, the gas with $4.30 a gallon and rising. I don't know. Because really, and for all we scream about fascism, and it's true, every word we scream about fascism is true. In spite of all that, the thing that makes the difference is that the price of gas and everything else, and the availability of everything else, because of the war that nobody wanted except him, because of the tariffs that nobody wanted except him and his billionaire friends. The people, so you ask me what happens, at what point do the people in government, at what point do the people in the streets rise up and say, okay, today's the day it stops. Now, many of us would argue we've passed 1,000 of those days or more, but apparently we're not there yet. I had always said, as I saw things getting worse, that they were going to have to continue to get worse before they could ever possibly begin to think about getting better. But I do think, and this is important, I do think that the pendulum has been released from its pause at the right and is beginning to swing back the other way. And that's reflected, in the poll numbers that we're seeing now. So there's real hope now, not just among Democrats and independents, but even some Republicans who've just plain had enough.
Okay, so this brings me to Christopher Webb posted, he writes, this should set off every alarm. Louisiana is about to pull the rug mid-election. Absentee ballots are already out. Early voting starts May 2nd. Election day is May 16th. And just days before, Governor Landry is planning to suspend the primary entirely. Now, if that were to happen, I mean, I don't know enough. I would, I'm going to look to you on this? Because I don't even like, can they do it? I mean, I know each state runs their own, so they can cancel it. But I mean, what happens? What happens?
Well, this is based on the Supreme Court ruling last night, right. And it frees Governor DeSantis here in Florida also. and now the Republican legislature here has endorsed his redistricting plan, which takes our blue districts down to one. My county, mm-hmm. the longest county in the state with the most shoreline, will be without a Democratic representation for the first time in forever, because the Republicans think they own the place. Yeah. And I think that there's enough exhaustion among mm-hmm. everybody and enough anger among Republicans and some independents and maybe even some Republicans that I think we're ready to call a halt. And because there is infighting, yay, in the Republican Party here in Florida, there's a very real chance we'll elect a Democratic governor. There's a very real chance.
That would be so fucking awesome.
Look, when Marcia and I moved here 11 years ago, about 10, 11 years ago, this was a purple state. Twice had voted for Obama. Mm-hmm. We thought, oh, this is great. Plus, we love palm trees, so this will be awesome. and everything turned red. And once they got control, they just got their little claws into everything mm-hmm. and just infected every area of government, just as Trump has done at the national mm-hmm. level. And I think I see the tide turning here. Even in Florida, I see the tide turning. They're seeing a tide turning in Texas. This is what's going to make the difference. And if we can get to the election, and I think we can, I think we can. If we can get to the election and through the election, I think we're going to be okay. I think there's a very good chance we could get firm control of Congress and make Donald Trump or whoever sits in that chair ineffectual.
Well, what I want to kind of throw in there is I was listening to somebody on YouTube the other day, and he was talking about like suffering. And human suffering. And he was just talking about how you have a choice where you can suffer down or you can suffer up, which means, you know, like suffering down would be we're toast. I mean, as far as Donald Trump and the United States, like we're toast. It's over. The American experiment has failed. It there. Suffering up means recognizing all the damage that's being done, but seeing there is an opportunity in this. Because, mm-hmm. and I've talked about this on my show a lot, but I want to reemphasize it because, you know, mm-hmm. there have been so many times in history where things fall apart and then we rebuild, right? So and we've talked so much. I mean, all of us, Democrats, meaning Democrats, I should say, you know, we had Occupy.
People.
Yes, reasonable people. We had Occupy Wall Street. We're talking about getting rid of money in elections, Citizens United. We want universal health care. Now, on the trajectory we had been on, it might have happened, but it would take a long ass time because there's so much stuff in the way. Now, I mean, I don't like, you know, what was it? Susan Sarandon said, burn it all down. And I completely disagreed with her. However, things are burning down. And what
that work was done for us.
Yes. And the way that we suffer up, because it is suffering. We're paying higher prices for things. People are being detained. People are dying. Yeah. I mean, there's violence. There's all of the negative, everything you can think of. But when you suffer up, you say, where is the opportunity? How can we improve this? And that's really where I try to stay in all of it, because it's like, as I told you, I can't follow politics the way I used to. I can't do it. I don't follow it as I did.
Yeah. No. And even you came today, although I did recognize the Louisiana story once you started telling it. I told you before the show I hadn't heard it, but I actually had. So I appreciated, you know, being at least knowledgeable enough to expound on that a little bit and expand on it. But no, Bob dusts us all on stuff like that. Since retiring from doing the news, I don't follow it as closely. But as a citizen, I feel you kind of have to. Remain aware. So I listen to a few things. I watch a few things. I read a few things. Not anything as I used to when I prepared my newscast,
right,
and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I had to back off. A lot of us have, but it's everybody's duty as a citizen to, you know, remain at least aware and informed. And what you just said was very, very important. And I'm glad you, and you should keep reiterating it, that you can suffer up or suffer down. Now, I would add to that, that being human, we do both. I do both.
Yes. Well, of course.
I've suffered up. I have days I suffer up and days I suffer down. Days I suffer down in the morning and I'm suffering up by afternoon.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
But that's the whole thing. Because it's like you said, as a human, you're first just going to be triggered. You're first just going to have your feelings. And then you have to kind of sort through them. And that's what I've been, you know, I've been practicing just different tools to deal with what's happening,
whatever it takes.
And I mean, whether you go to a psychologist or whether you're looking for something spiritual or quantum or whatever it is, this is what I have come to, because I feel like, all right, well, you know, no matter what, there's going to be adversity. And basically we put a we're the ones who label it. We label it good, we label it bad, because without our labels, it just is. And then we put a label on it. So it's like, okay, so if we're going to label it, especially what's happening now, yes, it's awful. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, it's damage. Yes, it's destruction. But it's also an opportunity. And, you know, we've gone through this before. Look at what Germany did. Look what they did after the Holocaust. And they're not letting go. There's plaques everywhere to remember and to make sure people don't forget that. And, you know, I think here we're going to have our own way of dealing with it. And I know that no matter what happens, I think the thing that concerns me, I don't want to say scares me, but the thing that concerns me is legacy media is going to still be here once we gain control. And legacy media is not friendly to Democrats, period. And they call it the liberal media, and that's a fucking joke.
I know.
And it's all owned by oligarchs now. And so it's like, I think, though, is happening, and I feel really good about it, is we're seeing a new independent media kind of come up. And I do hope that at some point, I mean, I hate to see institutions like the Washington Post and even the New York Times and all of that. A lot of what's been, I mean, I think the New York, if they just would get new ownership and go back to old standards, yes, we'd experience that again. I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
I got into news because of Woodward and Bernstein.
Right.
I always knew I wanted to be on radio or television. But when I saw All the President's Men, I thought, and I'd been following the story as well. When I saw that, I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I want to do or be a part of anyway.
Yeah.
And on a local scale, I was. And by the way, local news is very important. And
extremely.
Losing a lot of those. The FCC is also looking at changes in frequencies and power outputs that could virtually kill over-the-air television broadcasting by the end of this year.
Oh my God.
And wouldn't that be great? Because local for them, because local TV not only exposes local corruption, but it also is the only media that reports on our protests when we take to the streets, because the corporate legacy media in New York and D.C. Not doing that, not going to do that. And it just breaks my heart, to see what's happened to the Washington Post, which isn't. It's a shadow of itself. Now, the New York Times depends on the day, but the ownership sucks. You know, CBS News, I came up to, I was so proud. I can't tell you how proud I was when I got a job at CBS and then they fired me. And I got another job at CBS. I was very proud to be a part of that organization. And now I'm ashamed of it as it is today. I'm proud of what it was.
Yeah, my stepmother worked for CBS, and she was an editor. So, it just
breaks
really
my
sad.
Heart. Yeah. Some things we'll be able to rebuild. Some things we won't. Some things we'll rebuild quickly. Some things will take time. But we will rebuild. And that's the suffering up.
Yes. And, like, one of the things I was talking to Bob about, oftentimes we experience, we always say it's the loss of innocence and it was so much better back then. Like everyone does this. Every human gets older and they look back and they go, oh my God, it was so much better back then. It's
Nickel
just evolution.
Phone calls. Nickel phone calls. Women can't vote. Yes, yes.
Let's exactly. Go
back. Yeah, blacks got a separate water fountain. Yes, let's go back to that, shall we?
Exactly.
No.
No. And the thing is that we're always evolving. It's always going to be different. So what was working in good maybe in one era is it's not the same era. It's just everything's different. I don't like to get caught up in saying, oh my God, it was so much better before. Yeah, like you said, it was better for some people, but there was a whole, right. you know, the big swaths of people who are getting
yes,
screwed.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, and so we do have this opportunity, and I want everybody to kind of keep their focus on that because yes, it sucks. I'm not saying be a Pollyanna. I'm not saying pretend it doesn't or act like it doesn't.
Right.
We all have to see what's going on and we have to understand the consequences involved. And unfortunately, a lot of the times we have to feel it, you know, we feel it.
Oh, yeah, we do. It does. Some of these things have been when I got up Saturday morning and learned that we'd attacked Iran. It was like a punch in the gut.
I know.
You know, when you hear that the Supreme Court has essentially gutted the Civil Rights Act, it's a punch in the gut. And you just think, well, how much more of this can I take? What you said about suffering up and suffering down. What I want to say about your thing there about suffering up and suffering down. Mm-hmm. It's important for people to remember that it's human to do both. And it's important is something to be aware of. If you're aware of suffering up and suffering down, I think you're going to handle it better. And
that's
also,
exactly it. Be aware. You know, it's like people just usually buy into their feelings as if this is who I am. And feelings are
just say, okay,
temporary.
Right now. Yeah. Okay. Right now I see absolutely no freaking hope. And then, you know, later in the day, I might say, you know what? I feel pretty good about the resistance. I think we've got this. And so you can come around on that. You don't have to. The other thing I would add to that is you don't have to be a pro to find your zen. I find it behind a lawnmower sometimes. You can find it by just stepping outside and looking at some amazing clouds and enjoying the green and of the grass and the trees and the blue of the sky. And birds and children and whatever else may be out there of entertainment value, and take that in for a change as opposed to all this other stuff. You should a well-rounded diet includes both.
Following 100%.
Keeping up with your duty as a citizen to remain at least decently informed and factually informed, and at the same time taking some time for yourself and your own mental health. And I know it's hard, especially with parents and the kids and the cereal on the dog, and it can be very challenging. But it's something. Both things are necessary. You really need to do your duty as a citizen, and you really need to take care of yourself, because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of the rest of us or your kids for that matter.
Yes. And I want to ask you about that in just a second, because the last thing I want to kind of bring up is I don't know if you're too aware of the Rape Academy that CNN just uncovered, but go ahead.
All I know is that it exists. See, something's creeped me out so much. I don't want to know the details of it. And I feel like I know the details without knowing the details, if that makes any sense at all. I know that. What did I read something? And is this true? Like 62 or 26 million men liked or had visited?
Yeah, no, it was basically, so it's a website that teaches men how to rape their wives. So they drug their wives and then they rape them. And then they have it all on video. And I guess I heard different numbers. I've heard it was 62 million men logged in or people. And then I heard 80 some. I don't know exactly what the number is, and it doesn't really matter. The point is
it exists.
It exists. And it's just coming on top of everything else, right?
I know.
We went through Me Too, and I think during Me Too, people like Bill Maher and even Liam Neeson, who was my big fucking crush, he was my longest crush, but he warned against taking it too far. And he completely lost me. I still enjoy his movies and whatnot. I'm not like, I don't hate him, but oh my God, did he disappoint me when he was warning us to not go too far with Me Too. And I just, you know, what I want to say about this is, since this news came out about the Rape Academy, you know, all of a sudden they're on top of the rage over the patriarchy that has been existing and has been building up for a long ass fucking time. I mean, I don't even know how long, since forever. I mean, it seems like things improved and then we take all these steps backwards. But women are just so fucking tired of it. And then when we post, you know, men look at this, then this is my problem. Here's my problem right here, is if we say men went to this website, then you get all these men who come on comment and they go, I didn't, don't say all men, don't lump me into that category. And it's like, stop me. Fucking making it about you.
And methinks thou dost protest too much.
Yes. And even if you're not a fucking rapist, you don't get a cookie for not being a rapist. And if it bothers you so much, then stand up with us and talk out against it. And when you see
or hear. I just going to say, see or hear, speak or up, hear. Speak that, up yes. firmly.
Say something. And most men are not going to feel comfortable doing it. And I understand it. Like, for instance, my mother, whenever, and it mostly happened in Maryland when I was younger. It happened maybe, I don't even know if it ever happened when we lived in California, because I don't know if anyone ever said it. But when people would say the N-word around my mother, she just stops everything and she said, do not speak that way around me. I don't care what you say when I'm not in your presence, but do not say that around me. And, you know, here I am, this little girl, and I see my mom, and she doesn't fuck around. She's just like, don't say that. And it's you know, it makes everyone uncomfortable when someone stands up, and it's not easy to do. And well, so I didn't hear it. Get it.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your story.
No, that's okay. I'm done.
I was just going to say, as a child, I heard the word occasionally, and it made me uncomfortable, even though something inside of me told me it wasn't right. You know, it sounded like a slur. You know, it was spoken as a slur, you know,
right, so
it,
exactly.
I learned from context that it wasn't a nice thing. And as a child, you don't speak up because you're
a child. You don't even know any better, but
And the harder thing is as you get older, and this goes for misogyny too, and things you hear, misogynistic things you hear, as you get older, it can be, you know, a young man has to come to a point where, okay, I'm old enough to speak up now and object. And not only am I old enough now to speak up and object, I have an obligation to do so. And it takes some of us longer to get there than others. And I will say that in the case of guys like Liam Neeson and myself, sometimes we say stupid stuff. And
I get it. And, so do I. You know, I mean, we all do. Sometimes we're just ignorant to what's going on with other groups of people.
But I don't disagree with anything else you've said here. This is the patriarchal world that we live in, and I wish it were not so. And I don't know how we, other than calling it out and shaming it, and I think for all we could say about CNN, and we could say quite a lot, applause to them for bringing this story out. And to those who've spread the story so that there's an awareness of the Rape Academy and all of its many visitors, website visitors, and the fact that this is still very much a part of our culture. I encountered a gentleman. Let me withdraw the word gentleman. I encountered a guy yesterday who should be of some educational, you know, he should be a well-educated man. Let's put it that way. I don't want to be too specific here about the individual, but I said my iPad wasn't working, and he said it isn't listening to you, and I said no, it's not, and he said it must be a woman. And I said, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we parted ways, he offered his hand to shake hands. I took his hand, and I looked him in the eye and said, watch the jokes.
Yeah, good. There was a time
I wouldn't have spoken up.
Right.
I'm so glad that at my age, I finally reached that time. But in this enlightened age, every young adult male and beyond should.
Yes, 100%. And the thing is that I think one of the ways we, you know, the way we overturn patriarchy, because patriarchy is not the opposite of matriarchy. I don't know if you saw, I had done this little sketch, and then a couple of different people made much better graphics than I could. But yes, I know if you look up the definition of matriarchy, it's that women are ruling. But I want to kind of change that into not so much, it's more of a feminine energy versus masculine energy. And it's not one is good and one is bad and one is male as one is female. Feminine energy is creativity. It's protective. It's nurturing. And I think that a lot of democratic legislation is matriarchal. When you look at Social Security or when you look at Medicaid or any of these kinds of,
that's interesting.
Yeah, if you've got any kind of a social safety net, that's matriarchal, because matriarchal is basically a circle where everybody forms a circle and then protects the vulnerable in the middle. Mm-hmm, and so it's not about women ruling and if women rule, then it's going to be the same as a patriarchy, except with women. No, it's not that. All we need to do is, you know, we need... One of the things, going back to what we were talking about earlier, my mind is racing right now, and I'm forgetting how to correlate this. But it's just the idea that Democrats aren't perfect, right? Oh, I know. It's just like everything's falling apart. In the rebuild, I think that what we need to really focus on is getting the corruption. Like Citizens United is corrupt. It corrupts everybody. You know, Democrats are affected by it. It doesn't mean necessarily they're all bad people, but in order to win, they have to utilize.
Got to play the game.
Play that game. So get that out of the fucking picture. I mean, I know that's like a big lift, but regardless, the idea here is that it's the I think we can too, but the legislation is what is the point. That's how we can, you know, whether it's, you know, the laws we have regarding sexual assault, not having, time limits for when we can bring statute of limitations, when we can bring things. There's so many things that we can do. We can also have more women judges, because I did this whole article about, I think it was like white men rape women and children and face no prison time. And it was just it was one after the other. And I mean, these men, this is so horrible.
That's
and I'm sorry
the problem.
To say it,
yeah.
But they were raping babies and they didn't go to jail because the judge was more concerned that their life would be ruined. So it's like there's so many things that we need to do. And my whole thing here is that I said I want to live in a matriarchy where, you know, where everybody who is a bigot and a racist is shunned or something like that. And this man, this white man said, I'm getting the feeling, Kimberly, that you hate men. Mm-hmm. And I unfriended him. And I said, I'm sorry you don't understand what matriarchy is. Maybe you should check it out. But it's like, this is not about man-hating. This is about a power structure that isn't equal or fair.
And isn't just.
I'm so tired. Well, I'm just so tired of men freaking out when they hear women talk about it as if we hate them. That is a patriarchal move. And liberal men are doing it. And it's I'm so fucking tired of it. You know?
Yeah, I get that. And I think they're afraid to a certain extent. I think it's like how Trump reacts to certain things. It's his way of crouching in fear is to sort of lash out with an accusation. I don't know if there's a hybrid, because I'm not better educated. I don't know if there's a hybrid word between matriarchy and patriarchy. But here's what I do know. And I believe you're going to agree with this statement wholeheartedly. The problem is men rule at the exclusion of women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think government of the people, by the people, and for the people needs both.
Me
and
too.
It needs that compassion. And the problem is what we have now is men ruling at the exclusion of women. You see, that's the problem. Women are being, it's not that women are going to take over or need to take over.
No.
It's that they just want to, they want equal seats at the table.
Yeah, we want to say.
At a minimum.
That's
exactly.
All.
Equal seats at the table. It should be, demand should be nothing less or greater, depending on what the population breakdown is. You know, if there are more women than men, I haven't checked the latest figures, but if that's the case, then that's the degree of control women should have over government. But it should be a cooperative effort in my mind, and not at the exclusion of one sex or the other.
Exactly. No, because our government should reflect what we all look like, no matter our, you know, race, color, whatever, no matter where we're from, no matter what. I mean, it's always better to have someone in government who has, you know, lived like everybody else, as opposed to somebody like Mitt Romney, who didn't even know what a donut was. So, you know, I mean, it's good to have people who, like, you know, Tim Walz, you know, he's just like an everyday man. And those people understand going to the grocery store, getting gas, all that stuff. Did Mitt Romney, Donald Trump never stopped and got gas his entire life.
He doesn't know what tomatoes cost.
Yeah, no, he doesn't know and he doesn't care. Right. So I just, you know, I just want to make this plea for any man who's listening, any man, especially of a certain age, because I get that, you know, growing up when you're older, whether, you know, like I'd say Gen X and up, you know, you grow up with a certain kind of a culture and there are certain things that are acceptable and it's hard to kind of see the new way of looking at it, but there is a new way of looking at it. And it doesn't mean anything negative about you if you're going to support women. That's all. Just support women and recognize that we need you to, because it's like usually when these articles come out, they're primary, whether it's an article or a graphic meme, whatever, when it has to do with women's issues, it's primarily shared by women. We just need more men in engaging and participating and kind of speaking up. And it's not that hard. You know what I mean? It's like, right, we speak up for Black people. We speak up for minorities. So it's just
and fewer men who exclude women from governance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I want to ask you what you like to do, because we were kind of touching on this, go out, look at the sky. What do you like to do for self-care during these tumultuous times?
Well, you know, one thing I don't do is watch dark television shows. You know, I don't watch a lot of, you know, shows about corruption. I don't watch murder show. Well, you know, like your light murder mysteries, but
right,
not true crime. I don't right, indulge in that. I avoid reality TV, but I do like a good fiction, you know, that's escapist, that takes me away from all of this crap. But that's indoors. Outdoors, I do love nature. I like to go out on the water here because I have an opportunity to do that. And I enjoy that very much. And time at the beach when I can arrange it or get myself down there. But also travel. Marcia and I had a great trip last year to celebrate our 50th anniversary, and we had so damn much fun that we're doing another trip this year that's going to take us along the Emerald Coast of Florida, which I understand is quite beautiful, and then off to New Orleans, and then Lafayette, Louisiana, and then up to see my friends and dear ones in Kansas, where I came from, and then back to through Little Rock, Arkansas, where we must dine again at Eat My Catfish, because that's the best catfish in America, is at Eat My Catfish in Little Rock. And then from there on to Memphis. And so the stops in New Orleans and Memphis are going to be about jazz and blues. And we're going to hang at both of those places for a little while and do some cool stuff there. Probably the following morning after we visit Elvis's Krispy Kreme, we will go to the National Civil Rights Museum that's there. And there, and I want to show Marsha all the recording studios. Everything's close together. Beale Street for the blues. It's going to be, I'm really looking forward. This is the kind of stuff that takes us away from that kind of thing. And then we get right back in it. We've been to seven anti-Trump protests that we've known about. And I see opportunity for a couple more. I know one's popped up for tomorrow, May Day, when we're all supposed to be, closing our businesses, where possible, skipping school by whatever means you can get away with without hurting yourself, and
not shopping,
not shopping. That's the main thing, and that's hard to do because these evil bastards, like Amazon and elsewhere, they've made it so easy for us to shop without even thinking about it. It is so easy. And you go, oh, my God, I just spent money and I didn't mean to. So be very, very careful tomorrow, because you're just so used to clicking in many cases and getting, oh, I need this. And you go, oh, wait, no, not today. It could wait till tomorrow. Not today. Get it today. Get it Saturday. Do not get it tomorrow, because we want this May Day protest to work. We want them to feel it. And if there's a visible protest near you that you can be a part of, I can vouch for these as being wonderful experiences.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, I usually go grocery shopping on Friday, not going to go, which is good a pain in my ass.
Well, they're going to miss your stories. They're going to miss your updates.
I know. All of my, you know, it's so funny because I always talk to the checker at the grocery store. And yesterday I was in there. Okay, so real quick, I was in there last week. Now, this woman is very young. I'm going to assume she's very early 20s. And she's, I think she's from Pakistan, I think. And so last week when I saw her, I said, I don't even know what I already knew that she wasn't like a Trump. Of course, she's not a Trumper. But I mean, I have already talked to her and I know she was kind of open to politics. So I just looked at her and I said, and it was because the epistemic crisis doctor said that he was going to die that Thursday. And so I was in there on Tuesday and I'm like, hey, guess what? I'm like, a doctor on Instagram thinks Trump's going to die on Thursday. She started laughing and she's like, really? And I'm like, look, he's probably not going to die. But at least, you know, we've got that hope and we do know he's sick. So we were just talking about it. And so I said, you know, she said something like, when he dies, she's like, there's going to be celebrations all over the world. And I said, oh, my God, I know. Yeah. We were just like totally going on about it. And I posted about it on social media and some guy comes on and he said, you know, as if all, of all the things that never happened, this never happened. And it's like, oh, it happened. So I told her that. I said, yeah, some guy on social media did not believe me. And she started laughing. And once again, we were laughing. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, keep the faith. He's going to die. I'm like, look, if you were your dad. If you were your dad and you loved him, wouldn't you think he was going to die? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, well, and so we were just like totally in on it. And it's just so funny to me because another woman, I can't even remember what the deal is, but I'm very friendly. And so, you know, I'll usually tell someone, you know, don't forget to vote. And that's how I know if they're interested, because it's like, if I say it and they say nothing, then I just leave it alone. Cause I don't tell anybody anything about liberal or not, but so if they'll start talking. And so this woman and I started talking and I don't even remember. We were just talking about how much we hated him and we wanted him to die. Cause that's like the first thing I check every morning, is he dead yet? And she gave me like the store discount of 20% off just because and I'm like, see, hating on Trump actually pays.
Well, it's about damn time. It's about damn time. And more stores should take on that policy. I think it's unfortunate that this doctor chose a date. I think that hurts his credibility.
I know. I wish he didn't.
So here's what we do. Here's what we do going forward. Just say, say, you know, he's dying. Yeah, that's all. You don't have to back it up with anything.
Right. Just look at his hands.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. He's dying, you know. Yeah. Yeah, everybody says so.
He's dying. Okay,
I know.
So
ding dong, he's dead.
That is like, I live in that energy. I live in the energy of, because when he does finally leave, whether it's because he's 25th, whatever it is, I said this to my mom, and I know we're going to go in a second, but like, there's the element of surprise when something's going to happen, something's going to occur that we just can't right now, we don't even know. We don't know how it's all going to play out, right? When that news comes down.
We're kind of used to that, though, aren't we?
Yes, but there's going to be, I think, there's going to be an energetic change in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Just like when he dies, when he dies, there's going to be a lot of people celebrating.
Is that going to be like if you feel a cool front move in, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you go, oh, that's refreshing. That's just what we needed.
That's exactly
That's what we're going to feel. That's right.
It's going to be this like energetic change that even though fascism is still going to be there and we're still going to deal with all of that.
Colors will be brighter. Food will taste better.
Exactly. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for returning to the show and being such a wonderful guest. Tell everybody where to find you.
Oh, please don't. I do write occasionally on notes on Substack notes. I have a blog or two there in which I recount some of my protest stories.
What's the name of it?
I don't know. It's like,
is it Michael Elston or is it Buzz Burbank?
It's one of those things. I honestly don't know. People manage that. This is what I mean. And it, you know, I stopped trying at a certain point. And yeah. And so I'm on these things and I post on them and then I go away. So I don't really, yeah. you know,
right,
spend
right.
a lot
I
of time you. There. But let's see. I anyway, I'm on Facebook. I've got as Buzz Burbank and as Michael J. Elston. I'm on Blue Sky. You should be able to find me there easily. I'm on, let's see, what's the other one? Oh, Spoutable. Spoutable, I'm on that. So, you know, I'm around. You can find me. I'm so, what's it called on notes here? See if I can remember. Yeah, it's at Michael J. Elston Buzz. See, okay. That's why no one can remember it. It's at Michael J. Elston Buzz because I didn't know what I was doing when I set this up. But at Michael J. Elston Buzz. I'm there, but I'm also, like I said, on all those other fine channels.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. And I'm sure we'll talk once again.
So I look thanks. Forward to it. I look forward to it. I hopefully do it more often. And hopefully,
yeah, we'll do it sooner know, than so the other night. Go by.
The other night, Marcia and I dined at that same restaurant that you and Bob and she and I dined at when you were here. And yeah. I do hope that we can break bread together again sometime. As soon as
yes, Bob and I keep talking
later.
About it. We haven't done anything for a while. I mean, we did go to New York last year, but literally overnight. So, yes, we have to make that happen. But yeah, okay, yeah. Well, we shall talk before the election and tell Marcia I Good. Said hello.
Oh, I will do that. She already instructed me to say the same to you. So hi to everybody. And thank you for having me. And hi, everybody in Kimberly's office. Thank you. In Kimberly's office. In Kimberly's show. Anyway, I'm leaving now. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks, Buzz. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question. Curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.